I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news about salvation through Messiah Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, because this message and this message alone is the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles. And salvation is our greatest need, not more money, not more education, but salvation from the real and deadly forces of Satan, sin, and death. Shalom. This is Rabbi Loren coming to you live by Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. He was a Jewish musician on a path to self-destruction. Little did he know that God had a plan to save him from that path, and that his life would be changed by reading a book designed for a child. My guest today is Bruce Cohen. He is a Messianic Jew. He's married for 21 years this month to his wife, Erin. And Bruce is the father of three beautiful children, Michaela, Nicholas, and Jeffrey. Bruce enjoys worshiping the Lord through music and playing the bass and singing, and has recently been blessed with a management position at Henry Ford Hospital. Bruce, welcome to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Shalom. Hello, Lauren. How are you?
I am good, Bruce. Good to hear that you're doing well.
Yes.
Well, Bruce, let's start with your story. Give us your story. How did the three-in-one God of Israel, the living God, reveal himself to you and that Yeshua is our wonderful Jewish Messiah and the Savior of the world? Bruce, how has Jesus made you kosher?
Well, let's start with my religious upbringing, if you will. I wasn't raised in an Orthodox, conservative, or Reformed Jewish home. I went to Hebrew school and had my bar mitzvah, and my father would take me to an Orthodox shul, once a year so we could recite the Yisker for his mom who had passed away. You could imagine that. We celebrate...
And Bruce?
Yes.
The Yisker, for those who don't know, it's a prayer to remember those who have died. It's a memorial kind of prayer.
Correct. And for some reason, yes.
And also, you're from this area. You're a local guy.
Yes, I was born and raised, actually born at Sinai, but raised in Oak Park most of my life.
Okay, yes. Well, let's continue with your story.
Okay. We celebrated the holidays at relatives' houses, not really on our own. We didn't partake in that very much and never talked about why or what they mean. We were more like traditional Jews, and God was never really discussed in our home, or we didn't even discuss morals, rights and wrongs. As a child, I didn't have a close relationship with my parents. Our family was, what do they say, dysfunctional. My father traveled to several states to sell merchandise on the road, and my mother basically stayed in her room most of the time depressed, and she was on some medication, left with four boys to take care of, and I was the oldest. I suffered some physical, verbal, and emotional abuse during that time, which actually led to developing a stomach ulcer at an early age. I couldn't wait to get out of the house. I'll tell you, as soon as I could, I got out at the age of 15, moved in with a friend, lived with him for a while. I was heavily into music. I learned how to play the bass guitar, and that's how I kept myself occupied, playing in bands. Totally immersed in bands and music. In my 20s, my routine was going to work, going to band rehearsal in the evening, and then playing in bars on the weekend. And sad to say, I was involved in drugs, several different types of drugs and alcohol, and I was clearly on the road to destruction. At that time, I really didn't have any meaning or purpose. I mean, I wasn't trying to make it, you know, big or be a rock star. It was just part of my day-to-day life. That's who I was. My best friend at the time was the singer in the band. His name was Bob. And one day after work, I went to his house to pick him up for band practice like I usually do. And I sat on his couch and just, you know, was waiting for him to get ready. He walks into the room and he throws his book into my lap and he says, "Read this." Well, I looked at it. It was a children's living Bible. Now, this Bible had the regular scripture in it. Didn't have, you know, it was illustrated, but it wasn't like that basic. It was probably more for maybe preteens, So I opened it up, and I opened up right to the book of Matthew. No idea why, but I started reading it. And I read it from start to finish. And at the end, I believed everything that, you know, that I read, that everything actually did happen, that Jesus came from God, that he was born of a virgin birth, that he healed the sick, he raised the dead, and he died to take away our sin and was raised on the third day. And it all seemed to make sense to me. I mean, like, everything just, like, came to full focus. And but the problem was I believed it in my head, but not in my heart. So I walked away and basically just indulged in everything I was doing before.
Bruce, let me interrupt. When you say you were at your friend's house and he gave you this children's version of the Bible, and you started reading it beginning at Matthew, and then you read the whole thing. When you talk about the whole thing, you mean the book of Matthew?
Just the book of Matthew.
Okay.
Yeah, so you read the book of Matthew.
Just the Gospel of Matthew, the book of Matthew, written by Matthew, this wonderful Messianic Jew. And it just made sense to you.
Yes.
Everything about Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, the most exposure I had to Jesus before was watching The Little Drummer Boy, okay, during Christmas or something, okay? So not that much was going on.
Did the fact that you were Jewish and you were reading about Jesus, did that cause any problems for you or not at that point?
No, it didn't, actually.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I believe that there's a verse in there that says something about that the making the Jews jealous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what – I don't know. I don't remember that exact. I should have probably read that before I came here. But that was pretty important. When I read that, that's what seemed to make sense. Like, oh, okay, so God is doing this on purpose.
Doing what on purpose?
Basically making us jealous – giving the gospel to the Gentiles to make us jealous.
That verse is found in Romans,
okay,
chapter 11, and it says that salvation has come to the Gentiles in order for the Gentiles to make the Jewish people jealous.
Okay.
That's of their relationship with God, their peace, their joy, their understanding of our Jewish Bible.
Right.
Salvation has come to the Gentiles so that they can make the Jewish people jealous. And your friend was starting to have that kind of impact on you, yes?
Yes. Well, he was kind of a backslidden Christian, and he was involved. He was actually a drug addict.
Wow.
But inside, he really loved Jesus. And he didn't talk about him all the time, but he would sometimes put on some Christian rock or, just mention a few things. But he was really heavily involved in drugs, sad to say.
But even in spite of that, he still had some kind of interest in you, his friend, and even though his life was not perfect, he wanted to give you the good news about salvation through the Son of God.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's
good. Amazing.
Because a lot of people think if their lives aren't perfect, they don't have the right to witness to others.
Right.
It's a good thing that your friend didn't feel that way, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was in him. I mean, I don't know if he was just prompted, but the Lord was prompting him. Something was going on. You know, I mean, like, he never talked about the Lord or anything with anyone else, with the other band members. So
okay.
I didn't really understand it. But
so, all right, so you read the Gospel of Matthew,
right,
but and you kind of believed it, but it didn't make much of an impact on you immediately.
No, it was just basically in the head, not in the heart. So a few months went by, and, you know, as usual, and band practice, work, just the usual. And one day I was in my apartment, and I was getting ready for band practice, and I just happened to walk into the bathroom and look at myself in the mirror. And what I looked at, I didn't like. I looked tired. I looked burnt out. I looked just a mess. I just didn't like who I was seeing. And at that same exact time, I heard a voice speaking to me, and it wasn't an outside voice. It was an inside voice. And I heard this. It said, "I have so much better for you than this. So much better. Look at yourself. I have so much better for you than this." And I kept staring in the mirror, listening to this reassuring voice, and I'm thinking, this has to be the Lord speaking to me. I mean, it just has to be. And I'm thinking, is this real? Is this true? And you know, I read about him, and is he, like, trying to reach out to me? So at that moment, I was very excited. I gathered everything I owned, partaking in things I shouldn't have, everything I own that I shouldn't have had. I just threw in a big garbage bag, and I just tied it up, placed it on the kitchen floor. And at that moment, I kneeled down on that kitchen floor, and I cried. And I said, "Jesus, if you really are," I still had some questions, "Jesus, if you really are the Son of God, I ask you to come into my heart." And immediately after I said that, he did. I felt his presence. I felt some peace. And I just, from then on, my life began to change. I mean, completely.
So let me ask you a couple questions. When you were hearing that kind of internal voice speaking to you, do you think it was your own mind talking to you? Or as you look back now over the years, do you really think it was somehow God speaking to you?
Oh, it was definitely God.
Definitely God?
Yes.
Not just your own thoughts?
No.
Okay.
Not, it can't be. It's impossible. I mean, he was reaching out to me and revealing himself to me through whatever method he wanted to. And it took a while, but he came through and I listened.
And then your prayer when you were kneeling on your knees?
Yes.
You prayed to Jesus and said, basically, Jesus, if you're real, show me, right?
Yes.
And as soon as you prayed that prayer, something supernatural happened.
Definitely. Everything just changed inside of me.
And you sensed something, you knew something, your whole attitude started changing.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I felt his presence. I felt a peace. I felt a calm. I felt a relief. Like, oh my gosh, it's like, you know, this old life is going to be over. Something's changing. There's going to be a big change, and it's for the good, and this is what's going to happen to you from now on.
Would you say that that was your salvation experience, where you had a definite moment where you, you know, came to really know God?
Definitely.
Okay. Would you encourage a Jewish person who might be listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher, and maybe not even a Jewish person, but anyone who kind of believes but doesn't believe, isn't sure, to pray the same prayer? You know, Jesus, if you are real, show me.
Yes. I don't think God is offended by us asking if he's real. I mean, obviously he is, and he is so powerful, but he can, you know, he takes whatever we have to give him. I mean, if it's a question, if we're angry, anything. If you're questioning the Lord and you're angry, shout out to him. If you're sad, cry out to him. If you have questions, question him. But he definitely answers.
Seek and you will find. Bruce, would it surprise you to know that that is almost the same exact prayer that I prayed when I was really coming close and searching when I was a freshman in college, you know, like 35 years ago. I'd started reading the New Testament like you. And I remember one of my first real prayers, because growing up, you know, Jewish, we're not taught to pray directly to God using our own words, like, you know, you and I are communicating, but
right.
Prayer is more davening, praying prayers from the Siddur, the prayer book, you know, that are written down. And so Jewish people are not taught to pray spontaneously like you're talking to another person.
Right.
And so one of my very first prayers also was, you know, Jesus, if you are the Messiah, like this book says, just reveal yourself to me, show me, and I'll follow you. That was one of my very first prayers. Simple, but right from my heart. And God, you know, God also answered my prayer when I prayed that very simple, heartfelt prayer.
Yes. Praise God.
Yep. So what happened next?
Well, I mean, immediately my life changed. What I did was I asked my girlfriend to marry me, and we began to search for a church. And then all of a sudden I began to question, like, it hit me, like, how can a Jew believe in Jesus? I mean, most of the believers I've ever heard of that knew about Jesus, they weren't Jewish. I mean, I never met a Jewish believer before, so it just seemed like an oxymoron at the time, but, you know, I just was very curious. So I was, you know, used to listen to the Christian radio station, and I called into a Christian talk show, and I asked that question to the host, and he said, well, Bruce, there are Jewish believers, they're called Messianic Jews, and he told me about Messianic Jewish Congregation Shema Yisrael, and gave me the phone number of Rabbi Lauren Jacobs. And to tell you the truth, I was very hesitant. I did talk to you over the phone briefly, and I was invited to service, but I was real hesitant, not knowing what to expect. And my friend Bob agreed to go with me to Shabbat service, so I felt kind of timid, and I just sat and watched as the worship team got up and started singing and playing, and liturgy was read. And I'm thinking to myself, well, this is kind of a little odd, but, you know, I wasn't really used to that. And while I was sitting there, you know, all of a sudden the words of the Shema came on the projection screen, and the congregation started singing the Shema and reciting it. And at that same exact time, I was overwhelmed by the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. I was shaking, I was crying, and several of the members of the congregation embraced me. They were hugging me, and then Bob, my friend, he hugged me, and he whispered in my ear, he said, "You're home." And at that moment, I was receiving confirmation, looking at all these Jewish people worshiping the true and living God, the true living Messiah Yeshua, HaMashiach. It was overwhelming. This is how it was supposed to be. God was revealing to me, this is how my people are supposed to worship me in spirit and in truth.
That's great. When was that? How long ago? What do you remember the year?
Well, it's got to be February of 91. I was baptized, so it was shortly after that. It was so in 1991.
1991, 2001. That's like 21 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, now at that time, of course, you know, I was talking to my parents at that time, and they wanted to know what was up because I told them, hey, you know, I'm going to get married and I'm going to have a minister marry us because my wife and I were both baptized at a Church of Christ. This is before we were married. We were both baptized. We were searching for churches. We went to a Church of Christ first before I was curious about the Jewish believers. And it was a wonderful thing. We were both, baptized the same evening on a Friday night. And so my parents want to know, okay, what's going on? You know, all of a sudden there's some change in Bruce. And so they invited me over to the house. So, you know, I went over to the house and we had my parents are sitting there and my brother's girlfriends, just about everybody was just sitting there just waiting for me. So I walk in and I sit down, you know, on the couch and I'm just, you know, waiting. And so my dad says, okay, Bruce, so tell me what's going on. And I said, well, Dad, I believe that Jesus, that Yeshua is the Messiah of Israel. And he stood up and he said, you believe that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel? And I said, yes. He turned beet red, and he said, get out of my house. And, I was kind of expecting that. But so I did. I went out of my house, and you know what I came back in with? I came back in with my Bible with all the highlights in it showing how Jews, the Brit HaChadashah, the New Testament, was written by Jews, and the disciples were Jews, and Jesus was Jewish, and this was a Jewish thing. So I had my, I was ready to go.
Your dad kicked you out of the house. Did you come back right away?
Yes, right away. I just walked right out. I had a peace inside of me. I said, okay, kind of knew he would respond like this. I went right out to the car, got my Bible, and that would be the same exact Children's Living Bible. I was still using that. And what I did with that Bible is I just highlighted in different colors everything. I mean, you know, about how Jews relate to this and all the promises and the prophecies and fulfillments, and I had it all, like, in my hand ready to go.
Were your parents receptive?
Well, they sat there and they listened to me. But that's about it. And then this weirdest thing, like my brother under me, Mark, he was like sitting next to me and he goes, oh yeah, I know that Jesus is the Messiah. I'm like, what? I like look over to him like, what? He goes, yeah, everybody knows that Jesus is the Messiah. I don't know why he said that, but anyway, that kind of brought a new light into the room, but it was kind of a weird experience.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, about 5 years later, my friend Bob, he died of a drug overdose, unfortunately. He was pretty screwed up. He was kicked out of the band and died of a drug overdose. And I just have to add this, that at the funeral, I gave my testimony to his family and relatives. Because here they came and they knew he was an addict. You know, they knew, probably thought like his life was like nothing, you know, like he just wasted his life and his wife and his kids and everything and just was, you know, was a waste. And when I gave them my testimony and told them that he's the one that gave me the Bible, and here I am now today, it's just a happiness and joy came over a lot of them. They couldn't believe it.
That's really nice that you said that, and it's really nice that God could use all kinds of instruments to bring his blessings and grace to troubled humanity, even someone like Bob.
Yeah, definitely.
Bruce, talk to us about how God plans, orchestrates our lives. You've sensed that in your life, right?
Yes. I mean, at several times, I mean, God has a big picture. We just, you know, with our little minds, we can't grasp that. So we just live day to day and things happen to us. And then we get to a certain point and we say, hey, God really did that for me. And just to give you like one example, I joined a band called the Jericho Project a few years after becoming a believer in Yeshua. And the band was called Jericho because it was dedicated to breaking down the walls of the heart through spreading the good news. So we were going to play our first live concert, and the church, this place was packed. I couldn't believe it. And my parents came, as well as my brothers, because my parents always supported me, even when I was in the other band playing bars. They just always supported me. They didn't believe in what I did, but they came and supported me. So, you know, we started playing this concert, and I'll tell you, from the first note to the last, I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. It felt like I became one with the music, and the music just floated out to all the people in the room, and everything that was being said, the word of the Lord was being, like, sent out through this music. And especially, there was a song called Sweet Holy Spirit that we wrote. It was all original material, and it was about the Holy Spirit comforting us during rough times. And so after the concert, I walked to the lobby to meet my parents in the back there, and I found my mom crying and shaking, and she was very emotional. And my dad had a lot of tears in his eyes, and, you know, my mom hugged me and said, "This is really beautiful, very beautiful." And I said, "See, Mom, see the difference now that I'm playing for God?" And right after I said that, a woman with blonde hair comes up to me and says, "Hey, I remember you. I knew that was you. I used to come out and watch you play in the bars with that band Arcanum. You're saved too?"
Cool.
I mean, there's just certain things that happen that you just know is God. I mean, he orchestrates these things. Here, my parents are there. They used to come and watch me play in the bars, and now they saw my first concert, you know, and they felt, I believe they felt the Spirit somehow that evening. And here's this girl comes up. I mean, what is that, one in a billion odds that that would happen?
It's definitely obvious that God was orchestrating that. I would call that a divine encounter.
Definitely.
And they do happen every so often. Bruce, what would you say to a Christian who's listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher right now? What would you say?
Well, to? I would say to a Christian who doesn't know too much about his Jewish roots, you mean?
Jewish roots or witnessing to Jewish people?
Well, I would definitely have them search, read the Old Testament pretty thoroughly. I know it's sometimes they think, oh, it's boring reading Leviticus, but there is a lot of richness, especially in the Jewish holidays and feasts. I think that they should go back to that. I mean, being a Christian, okay, now Jesus came, now it's over. No, the Old Testament is a the New Testament is a continuation of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and this new covenant is important, but the old covenant is still there, and they need to research and learn about how these feasts and festivals, how each of them is fulfilled. It's not just a holiday that the Jewish people celebrated, but now that Yeshua has come, he has fulfilled every single one of those feasts and festivals.
You would encourage Christians to learn more about the rich Jewish roots of the Christian faith that are found especially in the Tanakh, the Old Testament. What would you say to a Jewish person who may be listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher right now and hearing your story?
Well, I would say this. I would say, first of all, being a good person and performing mitzvahs is not going to earn you a place in heaven. You know, those are honorable things and they build character, but I don't believe I've found any scripture in the Torah that says that we get to be with God after we die because of a point system. We can never be good enough to stand before a holy God. Throughout the Torah, people would die by just touching the Ark of the Covenant. And only one day a year on Yom Kippur, the high priest was the only one who could go into the Holy of Holies to make a blood sacrifice that would temporarily atone for the nation of Israel. And if you look at all the religions in the world, Buddhism, Hinduism, Muslim, all the isms, you'll find that salvation is all based on works. It's all about man trying to reach this God. But being a Christian, a Messianic Jew, is the only faith that is different than all the others. We don't try to reach God. He reaches down to us. He did all the work.
Bruce, thank you so much. That's a great message for all of us. And I want to thank you for being my guest today on Jesus Made Me Kosher. I am so glad the way that the 3-in-1 God of Israel revealed to you that Yeshua is the Messiah. Tonight is our Bible study. Rabbi Glenn is going to be teaching it at 6:30 at the facilities of Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church, right on Telegraph Road, just north of Long Lake. And Rabbi Glenn's a great Bible teacher. If you want a good Bible study and learn some of those Jewish roots, you're very welcome to join us. Please listen to Pastor Chris Brooks and Christ and the City, which is coming up next on Faith Talk 1500.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.